All right, ready for this? We're diving deep into the science of death today.
Ooh, that's a big one.
It is, and we're focusing on the brain. What happens to our gray matter when we die? We've got a stack of articles from ShareTechNote here.
Let's unpack it. It's a question that's intrigued humanity forever, right? And with neuroscience, we're getting closer to understanding that final act of the brain.
No heaven and hell talk today, just straight up brain science. So
Exactly.
when we say the brain dies, what's actually happening? Like at the cellular level.
Imagine this. The second your heart stops, the brain's fuel supply, glucose from your blood, it's gone. Like lights out in a city.
Okay, I get that. Everything goes dark. But it's not instant, is it?
No. Think of it like a slow motion blackout. These ShareTechNote articles, they point out that those brain cells, the neurons, they start malfunctioning fast, minutes even. They need that precise balance of chemicals, the electrical signals, no oxygen, no glucose, and it all goes haywire.
So how does this blackout actually unfold? What are the stages?
Energy goes first. That glucose, the brain's main fuel, it disappears. Then the communication between neurons breaks down. See, they talk using neurotransmitters, like messengers carrying information.
Right, so those messengers can't deliver anymore. Then what?
Chaos. Some neurotransmitters, the ones keeping your brain active, they flood the system. It's like everyone's shouting at once.
Not a peaceful fading out, then, more like a last panic.
That's a good way to put it. Plus, the brain's careful balance of ions, the things that let neurons fire, that goes out of whack too, like a city's power grid going crazy. This hurts the brain cells even more, and it just cascades from there.
A total system meltdown. So outwardly, can we see this happening? Is this where those brainwave patterns come in, like in the movies?
You bet. As the brain's activity gets more and more erratic, we see it in the brainwaves. That's what an EEG picks up.
And what are those waves telling us? A slow descent into quiet?
Not exactly, no. And this is where it gets interesting. Right before death, some studies show a big spike in gamma waves.
Gamma wave.
Yeah. Those are the high frequency ones linked to consciousness, deep thought, even those aha moments.
Hold on. So at the very end, there's a burst of activity.
Yeah.
Like the brain's trying to make one last call for help.
Some scientists think that, yeah. A final attempt to reverse the dying process. Others say it could be memories replaying super fast, like that life flashing before your eyes idea.
That's both amazing and creepy. So if that last effort fails, then what? Lights just out.
Eventually, yes. No oxygen means those faster brain waves, the alpha, beta, even the gamma, they give way to slower delta waves. Deep sleep, unconsciousness. Finally, even those are gone, and you get a flat line on the EEG. Total cessation. That's brain death. It really changes how you think about death, doesn't it? Not a moment, but a whole process in the brain.
Yeah, it's wild. But even with all this science, people's experiences make you wonder if there's more to it.
You're talking near-death experiences, right? NDEs.
Exactly. People who almost die then come back and tell us about it. We're getting into that now, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. NDEs, they've fascinated people forever, right? Usually explained by spiritual stuff. But like with a lot of mysteries, neuroscience is shedding some light on what might be going on in the brain during those experiences.
Okay, break it down for me. What are the common things people say about NDEs, and how can science even begin to explain them?
Well, there's the classic tunnel of light, right? And that feeling of peace, euphoria, even. Then you've got out-of-body sensations, and some people describe incredibly vivid life reviews, like their whole life flashing before their eyes. For ages, this was the realm of philosophy and religion.
Yeah, it does feel like we're stepping into the twilight zone here. So, how does neuroscience even start to explain seeing a light or feeling super peaceful when you're basically dying?
It comes down to understanding how the brain reacts to extreme stress, oxygen deprivation. You remember that surge in gamma waves we talked about?
Yeah, right before the end.
Imagine that amplified, especially in places like the temporal lobe. That part deals with sensory information, memory, emotions.
So that huge surge in those areas specifically, could it be misinterpreted by the brain? Like it's some kind of mystical thing.
Exactly. It's like their brain is starving for oxygen, about to shut down, and it's trying to make sense of these weird signals, these bursts of activity. And sometimes that's translated into these really vivid, often unexplainable experiences.
Okay, I can see that. But what about the out-of-body thing? People feel like they're floating, looking down at themselves. Isn't that one of the hardest things to explain?
You'd be surprised. So there's this area, the temporoparietal junction, or TPJ. It's key for how we experience our bodies in space, our sense of self. When the brain is super stressed, like during a near-death event, the TPJ can go haywire.
Haywire how? What's the brain actually doing?
Basically, the normal flow of information to and from the TPJ gets messed up. It's like the brain's map of the body, the one that tells you where you end and the world begins. That map gets all blurry and distorted.
Like our internal GPS is freaking out. No wonder people feel detached.
And it's not just the TPJ. Stimulating another area, the angular gyrus, that can cause similar out-of-body feelings, even when someone's not dying.
Wait, seriously, they can make that happen on purpose. So does that mean people in NDEs are really hallucinating?
It's possible, a strong possibility from what we know about the brain. It could be creating these experiences as a way to cope with how traumatic near-death is.
That is mind-blowing. But we haven't talked about those feelings of euphoria, that intense peace. It's hard to imagine that's just the brain misfiring.
Well, this is where those brain chemicals come in. Remember endorphins?
Your body's natural painkillers.
Right. They're released during stress, pain. When death feels close, the brain might pump itself full of endorphins.
Kind of like a last act of kindness from the brain. Easing the pain, even if it's a chemical trick.
Yeah, exactly. And it might not just be endorphins. Other neurotransmitters, the ones that control mood, like dopamine, serotonin, they could be involved too. Their levels go up and down like crazy during stress. That could be why some people feel peaceful, even blissful.
It's amazing how much we're learning. For a long time, science had no clue. Now we're putting the puzzle together, even if there's still missing pieces.
Definitely. And while we're getting better at understanding the how of near-death experiences, the why is still a huge question, maybe one that goes beyond what science can ever fully explain.
That's where the physical and the, I don't know, the spiritual, where they meet. It's where science runs up against consciousness and what happens after we die. It's like we're trying to crack some kind of code, right? What is consciousness and where does it go when we die? We've got all this neuroscience, but maybe it's not meant to be fully understood.
Or maybe, like you said, maybe we haven't figured it all out just yet. But you're right. It's a question that's been bugging us since, well, forever. And there's one more angle we can look at, a tough one. Medically assisted dying.
Okay, yeah. It's definitely a sensitive topic. Lots of debate there. But we're sticking with the science here, right? Just neurology.
Absolutely. Putting aside the ethics for now, it raises a really interesting question. Can we actually use our brain power, literally, to create a controlled, peaceful exit from life?
It's a big one. And those ShareTech Note articles, they talk about how it's actually done with medications like barbiturates. So just purely scientifically, what happens in the brain when someone undergoes medically assisted dying?
Simply put, those medications, often barbiturates, they basically slam the brakes on the whole central nervous system. They work by boosting this neurotransmitter, GABA.
GABA. That's the one that chills everything out, right? Like the brain's calm down signal.
Right on. GABA is like the brain's natural chill pill. So when you increase its activity, these meds, they suppress neuron firing all over. Instead of that crazy surge we talked about, there's a gradual decrease in brain activity, controlled.
Like turning down the volume on all that brain chatter?
Yeah.
Until there's silence.
Perfect analogy. And as that happens, the person becomes unconscious, breathing slows way down, and then the heart stops.
Mm.
Neurologically speaking, it's meant to be the most peaceful way to go.
It makes you wonder about how we even define death, doesn't it? Not just this one point in time, but a process that, in a way, we can control now.
It blurs the lines, for sure. And it brings us back to that idea of unconsciousness as a spectrum. Like sleep, anesthesia, even death. They're all shifts in brain activity, different but connected.
Right, like anesthesia is almost hitting the pause button on consciousness just temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's a state kind of like death, just reversible.
Exactly. And if you look at the brain waves during deep anesthesia versus early death, there are similarities. Slower waves taking over, more delta waves. Suggests these states might share some mechanisms deep down.
So it's like anesthesia is giving us a little peek into what dying might be like neurologically. So we can bring people back, which is amazing in itself.
It speaks volumes about how adaptable the brain is. Even when consciousness is barely there, just a flicker, there's still a chance it can come back.
It makes you think, at what point is it really over? When does that little spark go out for good? Can we even say for sure?
Now that's the million-dollar question. And honestly, even with everything we know about the brain, we're still figuring that out. We see the physical changes, the slowing waves, the quiet. But the experience of consciousness itself, that's still a huge mystery.
Kind of humbling, isn't it?
Yeah.
For all our scientific advances, the essence of what makes us conscious is still this big question mark.
It is. It's humbling, and it's kind of awe-inspiring at the same time. Reminds us that we can study the brain all we want, but we got to respect the mystery, too.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
No.
You've really given everyone a lot to think about today. The science of brain death, the puzzle of NDEs, even the ethical side of medically assisted dying, that's a lot to process. But hey, that's the deep dive for you.
That's what we do, dive into the deep end of knowledge, even if we don't always reach the bottom. Sometimes just asking the questions is the most important part.
Absolutely. So everyone listening, as you go about your day, think about this. If you could see inside your own dying brain, would you want to? What do you think it would tell you, if anything, about what consciousness really is? It's a question worth asking, even if the answer stays just out of reach. Until next time, stay curious, everybody.